Well, I think, there's a common perception that the procurement process and the government is the evil of everything. And while I think we all would agree there are certain elements of that that are true, we do recognize that, in a government process, procurement and acquisition has to run according to certain rules and expectations. So you can't just throw it away. So I think, as cloud and agile have been introduced, agencies such as NASA, DOD, and others have really found, vehicles that work, IDIQs, even time and material contracts when you're just trying to do some work iteratively rather than a big, long, massive project, some of the GWACs. These vehicles can be tailored in a way that allow agencies more flexibility than I think we originally think. And so I think finding those examples where we're matching it's always matching the acquisition vehicle to what it is you're trying to do. And oftentimes what I've seen is that we use the wrong vehicle to do whatever it is the agency's trying to do. And getting that right up front is really key to success.
Joanne, how have you seen the process work well when you've seen agencies succeed in that matching process that Dave's talking about?
Well, it works for the best when we see it at the higher agency level, at the CIO or just higher procurement level. I mean, it certainly works with a government-wide contract. We have 10,000 procurement officers, and each one of them has their own idea of how it works. But if you can get it more centralized, that obviously helps, because then you can leverage both the knowledge and then the buying power and understand better how to make things work. Yes, I think I certainly agree. Looking at the right vehicle and looking at what's already available. I think there's still too much do-it-yourselfness out there,
mm-hmm.
and whether it's a large DoD vehicle or a GWAC or even the schedules, use what's there first, because then you can spend your time, focusing on the acquisition and not the vehicle.
Jamie, Frank Kendall has spoken at DOD on a number of occasions about the process by which you're refining, I think revamping or reforming may be too strong a word, but refining, excuse me, the acquisition process at DOD. What is the ultimate goal beyond better materials and products and services for the warfighter? What's the ultimate goal inside the agency of initiatives like better buying power?
I don't know what the ultimate goal is, but there are several goals, and one of them, I think one of the primary goals, is creating an atmosphere where the workforce understands much better how they can achieve some of the things that Doug and Joanne Dave and Joanne were just talking about. It's really the ability to look at the processes and some of the impediments that have developed over the last 50 or 60 years of the acquisition process and say, how can we do things different, better, faster? And so I think one of the other goals, and maybe this is the principal goal in my opinion, is ensuring that we have a committed and trained workforce. Because you can change all the business processes you want, but if you don't have the workforce that's committed and trained and understands that they can look for alternative vehicle sources and they can work with industry and work with other folks in the government and in the international world, we're just going to be where we are 40 years from now.
I've done a number of interviews with officials at DOD, Jamie, talking about the changes to the workforce that you've done there, both DOD as a whole and within the individual branches. Joanne, are you seeing that transition in acquisition workforces? Are you seeing the training getting better so that the quality of the workforce is getting better and so that the, I guess, open-mindedness of the workforce is increasing to some of these alternatives that we've talked about so far?
Wow.
I think you have 10 seconds.
I think it'd be wrong. I don't think it's true that the quality has ever been bad. I think
not implying that.
I think for the sake of my contracting officer friends out there, they've always had an amazing ability to do things. As I mentioned, we have 10,000 procurement officers, and I always say we have 10,000 different ideas of how to do things, and they all think they're right, and everybody else is wrong. And that still occurs today. So there are still some very strong-minded, do it by the book, and if it doesn't say it in the FAR, we can't do it sort of thing. But when you take what people like VA are doing at their technology acquisition center and training folks, and part of their goal is, in fact, to train them to be open-minded, to look at the FAR interpreter, how to get the job done versus how to keep from getting the job done. So we are seeing that success occurring with that sort of program.
I think Jamie's use of the term impediment, though, is telling, Dave, because that's the perception. I mean, that's the perception both among acquisition people and contracting people. You're probably hearing that already now that you're on the outside. Mm. That's the perception. And yet I keep hearing from people, like we heard from Joe Jordan yesterday, saying it doesn't have to be that way. I'm paraphrasing what he said, but he said, you're reading it wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, a couple of things. I think, it's easy to jump to the acquisition workforce and, blame the acquisition workforce. I think what's happened, there's a whole mental model that's changing here in IT. We're buying IT as a commodity on one hand. It's a ordered service against standards. And we're not quite there yet in the government. We still are product-oriented as opposed to buying services against a common standard. If we ever got there, things would get simplified in the commodity side real fast, and the government's leverage its buying power. And then you have this agile development, completely different from buying commodities, where you're doing development in short burst, you're looking for flexibility, you have a vision of where you want to go, but you don't have it all worked out. Very different from what we traditionally have done in government. So I think that's what's happening, is we have this competition that's occurring, and we have, both acquisition, program, IT officials who are not comfortable yet in that world. We have industry that's not yet comfortable in that world, quite honestly. So that's what we have to deal with, I think, going forward, is recognizing the game is changing, the buying is changing, and we have to figure out what we need to do to make this work a little bit better.
Does that comfort level increase with anything except time and experience? It doesn't sound like something you can train your way to.
No, because that's why I said I think it's a different mental model. Mm-hmm. It's not that I do something wrong. It's I'm doing something different. And we've got to recognize that and accept that and then figure out where to go. And Karen's here now. Karen can speak to this as well. The FAR allows a lot of flexibility. I mean, modular contracting has been around for 25 years. If you read the FAR, it sounds just like agile. So there's a lot of flexibility that's there without throwing the FAR away and starting all over, because that process could take the rest of our lives, I think. And that's what, when I was in GSA, that's what we were trying to do. We didn't want to blow the FAR up. It doesn't need to be. It's figuring out the flexibilities in it that are conducive to the changing procurement environment. That's the key, I think, to success.
Can I just add one quick thing? Because you mentioned a lot of pieces, and the one piece that you didn't mention was policy people. Mm-hmm. The policy people play a big role, perhaps a bigger role than we'd like at times.
So. Yeah. Karen, welcome. It's great to have you here. Good to see you. You and I talked not too long ago about this concept of agile contracting reform or procurement reform, and the idea that Joanne has talked about and that Dave just alluded to, that it's not practical to think we're going to change a whole bunch of things all at one time. And so looking at the impediments, as Jamie termed them, and figuring out what has to come down in order to achieve what you want to achieve is probably the most wise way to go about this.
Well, and I agree with, first, thank you guys. Traffic is a wonderful commodity here in D.C.
You could sell it as a commodity.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I wish we could. And so, but anyway, I agree with Dave that throwing away the FAR is not the way to go. I mean, every time I hear somebody say, well, we're going to, you know, start this whole effort about revising the FAR, and the FAR is the problem, and the FAR, it's not the FAR. I mean, if you guys really read it, I mean, I know there's a few of us who actually go through and really read the FAR. I mean, it allows you to do a lot of things. The key to that is you have to know what you want to do.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's really the key. And if you don't know what you want to do, then you have to find a contracting officer who helps you construct a contract in a way that allows you to find out what you want to do. And so, for example, because I know you're going to ask me, like, if you... we've done this too many times. But, I mean, if you have a big, you know what the outcome is on a big project. You know that you have to implement, you know, a cost accounting system that is going to allow you to do all of this stuff that everybody has talked about in the nirvana of the financial world, right? You know that's the outcome of what you have to do. But you've got to construct the contract in a way that allows you to step through that process, and now we're calling it agile. In 1996, it was a modular approach. I mean, Clinger Cohen in 1996 said that we had to do this. And so it's breaking it down into small enough modules that you can either award the big contract that I know now that I've been on this side, vendors love the big contracts, right? But it has to be in a small enough way that you can do the task order so that if it's not working out, you can walk, both sides can walk away from the contract because it's not either the information isn't there or the agency really doesn't have enough to go forward. But you really don't want to get into the situations that happen now in procurements where everybody's pointing the finger at everybody else and it's not a conducive working environment. I mean, you know, need I say healthcare.gov, where everybody is, but that's not new. Those of you who've been around in this area, that is not a new phenomenon. What is bad is that is now, because it affects every American, you know, that is involved in there, everybody's now looking at federal procurement because of the ramifications of that bad contract.